Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. If you would, get your Bibles out and turn to Psalm 90. Psalm 90. Richard had every good reason to think that we would be in Luke Volume 2 today. You may remember last year we were doing a series on Acts, and it's been a few weeks since we've been continuing that. Instead, today we're going to continue our break from that and look at one of Luke's favorite books. He quotes it quite a lot in Luke and Acts. And so Psalm 90 we'll be looking at here in just a bit. We find ourselves gathered here on the Lord's Day as usual, but as you also know, this is New Year's Day. So it seems appropriate at this time of transition to a new year just to reflect a little bit on maybe the things that we should reflect on in a day like this. You probably are aware that there's nothing in the New Testament, and I would add in ancient Christian tradition, that would suggest that we should celebrate New Year's. There are rhythms, of course, rhythms of time in the New Testament that are important to Christians, the Lord's Day being among them. But not this, at least not in the New Testament. And from one perspective, the truth is, the moment that marks the passing from one year to the next is no more significant than any moment that passes. In its passing, the move from December 31st to January 1st is no different than the turning of any other day. I keep telling myself that on my birthday. You know, I'm not a year older, I'm just another day older, right? I keep trying. I haven't convinced myself yet, but I keep trying that every year. But truly, that minute from 11:59 to midnight is no more remarkable than any other passing minute. And this may be one reason why I've never been one of those people who really makes New Year's resolutions on New Year's Day. I generally don't set goals at the new year. And I grant that it could be laziness on my part. It could be my body's stubborn resistance to diet and exercise that makes me not want to set those resolutions. So if you make good resolutions and keep them, then I encourage you to do that. I don't want to discourage that. But I kind of feel like if I need to do something, then June 1st is as good as January 1st. I need to do it now, right? Not wait until the turning of the new year. At the same time, arbitrary though they be, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day do mean something to us. It offers us a chance to look back. And you see the secular culture doing this, right? If you watch TV during this past week, you'll notice how news programs compile a retrospective of all the things they thought were important over the last year, reminding us of the people and the news that made, and the things that made the news. So, in the same way, I think we look back on our own lives, right? Or we should probably take account of our own lives, take stock, the good, the bad, the ugly, perhaps. So the transition seems significant. My granddaddy used to say on New Year's Eve with all somberness, there will never be another, whatever the year was that was passing, there will never be another 1989 again. And that's true. And it's a lot for a kid to take in, I think. Maybe it's a lot for a grown-up to take in. For some of us, it may strike us as good news. For some of us, 2022 was a tough year. But, yeah, the periodization is actually arbitrary, for not only will there never be another 2022, there will never be another today. We choose to mark this passing of the old year. It is we who give New Year's Day and the minute that passes a significance that, from a certain point of view, every moment has. Every passing minute and day have a weightiness to them, a gravity that we often overlook. We overlook it, of course, because not every moment can be celebrated and commemorated to the extent that we do on New Year's Eve. I know I shouldn't stay up that late every night, all right? But all these moments are, in fact, significant. In some ways, then, I intend by my comments here to equalize these moments, okay? So to accomplish this, I don't want to downplay so much what we do with New Year's as much as elevate the other moments in our lives and see the significance that they have. And to help make this point, I know of no better biblical text than Psalm 90. So if you're there, you can follow along or just close your eyes and listen to a few verses from Psalm 90. Verse 1, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dry and withered. Verse 12. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. This is the word of the Lord. And this psalm is a good meditation on the passage of time, the passage of our time, and what we should do with our time. The psalm begins with eternal perspective. You see it there, it begins with God, who is above all time and space. If time is the measure of finite things, then time does not properly apply to God, who is infinite. So this psalm contrasts our existence with God's. We pass in and out of existence. God does not. Our existence is contingent. God is necessary. 1,000 years seems like a long time to us. To God, it doesn't. God is sovereign over all of it. And that's what this psalm is saying. And so this temporary dwelling is not our true lasting home. God himself is our dwelling place, our eternal home. God has been there for us in the past. The psalm testifies to that. We can see this as we look back on the history of redemption. Just as he has been there with our ancestors, we know that he is here with us. When we think about ourselves as temporary, bound by time, coming from dust and returning to it, as the psalm says, we may get the feeling that we are unimportant to the infinite God and to the vast universe whose times and spaces seem infinite. This would be a mistake. One evidence of our significance is that we are exhorted in verse 12 to number our days. Number our days. What does it mean to do that, to number our days? Does it mean we are literally to count them? I wonder if some of the high school seniors here have started numbering your days until graduation. Is that what it means to number our days, to literally count them up? Probably not. We're to number our days because they are significant. That's what that means. Numbering them doesn't make them significant. It simply recognizes the significance that our days already have, whether we've acknowledged it or not. When Jesus wanted to emphasize the love that God has for each of us, remember he said that even the hairs of our head are numbered. Those hairs are significant to God because we are significant to God. Who marks our time? Who counts our days as significant? God does. That's what the psalm is saying. And because he does, we should too. We should number our days. So numbering our days is simply to recognize that they are finite. Their number is limited. And then to make us grateful for our time, and also to remind us of each day's individual importance. That's one reason we quote from Psalm 118, "This is the day that the Lord has made, and so we rejoice and are glad in it." This is a day unlike any other. As routine as it may seem and as it may have started for you, as repetitious, as predictable as it may initially appear, this day and this year are truly unique. Challenges and opportunities that this day presents are new. And as much as they may be alike, January 1st is not December 31st. 2023 will not be just another 2022. So what will you do with it? That's the question. What will you do with the gift of time? What will you do with January 1st? What will you do with 2023? What will you do with the rest of the 20s? Verse 12 says that we number our days. Why? So that we may gain a heart of wisdom. In other words, when we have a healthy perspective on the temporal and the eternal, we gain wisdom. We have a better understanding of who God is and who we are in his presence. We are more likely then to make the most of our time. And so Psalm 90 reminds us of those things and the significance of our days. It also invites us to look to the future. You see that in verses 14 through 16. May God's splendor be shown to his servants' children. This is the expectancy of faith and hope. As Christians, we are an expectant people. What do we expect? What do you expect for this next year? Ultimately, of course, we expect victory through faith. In the midst of the journey of life, the eternal gives meaning and direction to the temporal, the here and now. But we fix our eyes on the eternal. You know, a sailor in the middle of the sea does not fix his eyes on the waves just below him, which rise and fall in rapid succession as they're stirred by the winds and the currents. The waves are ever-changing and not very helpful for long-term navigation, for reaching the destination. No, the sailor fixes his gaze on the stars, the same stars that have guided his ancestors and will continue to guide future sailors for generations. Those stars are fixed and steady. They're faithful and reliable, unchanging. This is how we should face the future, with that eternal perspective. We face it with the joy of expectation, with faith in the one who is faithful and eternal, holding to the unchanging hand of the one who transcends all the confines of time and space. Looking to the future, of course, brings us back to the present. So Psalm 90 begins with this eternal perspective. It declares that God has been our help in ages past. It's just reinforced that God will be our hope for years to come. We look backward, we look forward in this psalm. But now, verse 17, see how it ends? The present. A prayer that God will establish the work of our hands. Here and now, the work we have for today. The work that is set before us to come to know God, to pass that knowledge on to others, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I love this picture of cooperation. It says, God establishes the work of our hands. You hear that? May God establish the work of our hands. It is God and it is us. It's not one or the other. It's both and. We can't do it on our own. God must establish our work. Without God, we can do nothing, of course. And so he establishes it by grace, giving us the desire to do this work, to do what is good, the ability to carry it through and persevere. It is God who also brings the good results of this work. So before, during, and after the good work, it is God who establishes it. So it's God who deserves the credit. But it's also, at the same time, up to us. God establishes the work of our hands. So the point is not that we sit back and relax because God will take care of it and he's going to do what he's going to do. No, he works in us and through us to accomplish his purposes. Which is why we heard from Philippians 2. I love that passage that we heard just a little bit earlier, that it is God who works in us to help us will the good and to do the good. So, with God's help, what specifically do we expect to do with our time? Grow, I hope, for 2023. We will grow. Grow in knowledge and understanding. Growth in kindness, love, humility, joy, fellowship, peace, patience, kindness, self-control, growth in the fruit of the Spirit. If those sound like good goals, then it's worth considering how we get to those goals. What are the means to those goals? And that's where we have to do something. Knowledge doesn't come through osmosis. So what will you do in 2023 to increase the understanding of your faith? How will you do it? Who are you hoping to pass your faith along to? How will you show more love, more joy? How can you be a more effective peacemaker? And so on and so on. So, yes, I'm asking you, set some concrete goals that will bring results in your life. So those New Year's resolutions are good, I think, whenever you make them, whenever it might be during the year or it might be today. It's good to set those goals, trusting that God will bless us as we seek his will. So that's the question for us this morning. How will you use your time, this gift that God has given to each one of us? Well, live today like it's your last, like there's no tomorrow, because there may not be. There's a song that we are not singing this morning because I don't know if we know it, but in your songbook, it's number 522, if you want to look at it. It's a song by Isaac Watts. And he paraphrases, as he does in many of his hymns, he paraphrases Psalm 90. Is what this is based on. He wrote it in 1708. I believe it was published in 1719, so over 300 years ago. And his original words are mostly preserved there. There are more verses that I won't read, but he paraphrases Psalm 90 like this: "Our God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Under the shadow of thy throne, still may we dwell secure. Sufficient is thine arm alone, and our defense is sure. 1,000 ages in thy sight are like an evening gone, short as the watch that ends the night before the rising sun. Our God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, be thou our guard while troubles last, and our eternal home." So we look back on the old year with its successes and failures. We look forward to the new year with its potential successes and failures. And we're heartened because we know that God has sustained us in the past. And we know that He will do so again and continue to do it in the future. In fact, as God has shown us in Jesus Christ, the temporal is swallowed up in the eternal, as death itself has been killed and swallowed up in life. The gift of time is, in fact, timeless because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and because of our future resurrection. It is a gift of enduring time, everlasting life, a gift from the God of all existence. These moments of growth and love and joy that we experience in this life as incomplete, temporary gifts that leave us wanting more, they will be eternally redeemed and restored, blossoming into never-ending growth in joy and love, never-ending fellowship with one another, ever-increasing closeness to God. As the ground of our being and the reason for all that is, God is the source also of our hope. And this is what we expect. We have the Holy Spirit as the down payment and guarantee of this hope, the certain deposit of our future. And so, as we look forward to what is to come, we expect nothing less than victory through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, are you numbering your days? Let me put it this way. Your days are numbered. So are you making the most of them? What about this day? Won't you put your faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to be your Lord and Savior? Repent of your wrongdoing and its guilt and its power. In the name of Jesus, be cleansed of all of that in the redeeming water of baptism. There's no better way to start out the new year right than for all of us, as we can, turn to God. Ask for the prayers of this church and pray that God will work in you to desire the good and then to do it. So, what good thing will God establish in you this year? We've got a time set aside for invitation. If you'd like to respond, please do so as we stand and as we sing.